There we go. Playing it safe. I don't know if that reminds you maybe of your childhood. That's bubble wrap and a helmet and a soft baseball bat or a softball bat. You know, maybe our moms weren't quite as bad sending us out in the big world full of, you know, wrapped up in bubble wrap so that we can just be safe. But maybe, you know, we kind of felt that way. Or maybe that's kind of our approach to life as well. It's like, it's all about security. How do I make myself safe? How do I sidestep pain? You know, how do I notice those, you know, I need to get to learn those warning signs and so on so I can just evade and avoid. And I think we'll see, there's a few scriptures I want to highlight tonight, that that's not God's plan for us, to play it safe. We have not been called to survive life. We have been called to be victorious. Now, who knows that there is no victory without a battle, a war, okay? There is no victory without a battle. That guy is not getting ready for battle over there. Although maybe he thinks so, but that's not his mom's intention. If she heard of a battle around the corner, she's sending him the other way. Okay. But that's not God. God would send us into battle, not ill-equipped. He will equip us, but he's going to send us headfirst into that battle. He hasn't called us to play it safe in life. Now, I don't know if you remember your, just cast your mind back to the school playground. And when you were about this high, and maybe especially, I don't know about the girls, you know, I just haven't been one. I thought that was pretty obvious, but as guys, you know, we'd find ourselves chatting on the playground saying things like, well, my dad is stronger than your dad. You know, maybe my dad's richer than your dad. So it's like, why is your dad richer? No, you know, we drive a Mercedes Benz. Okay, touche. No, my dad's richer. Why? Why is your dad richer? No, we live in Constantia. Okay, okay. No, no, no. My dad's richer. And why is that? No, we braai every day. And it's like, okay, you've got it. Yeah. Now, yeah, last night we actually had a pretty decent braai before the rugby. So if my eyes are a little bit red, yes, I had a late night and I had to preach this morning as well. But God is faithful. All right. No, it was awesome. And yeah, I had a lekker braai. So, you know, we gain confidence as children because of whose house we step out of in the morning. You know, there's a certain confidence that comes with who your parents are. There's a certain identity that you obviously find in that. And tonight, we all have one thing in common. We have the same Father. And our Father, our Heavenly Father, there is no one that compares to Him. He is the strongest. He is the richest. He's the most able. He's willing. In Romans 8, Paul encourages us there in verse 17 that we are His children. We co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Co-heirs with the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Co-heirs with the one whose name is above every other name. We share the same Father. Now, if we know that when we step out in the morning on our way to class or work, or to family gathering, or whatever kind of intimidating situation, whatever challenge awaits us, do not forget who your Father is. Do not forget which house you've stepped out of. When you realize your Father's behind you, it's going to be nothing that is impossible for you. No challenge that's too great. Nothing that can intimidate you. We've all grown up knowing about bullying and so on. Maybe we've been bullies. Maybe we've been bullied. But imagine there's a guy waiting at the gate of the school, waiting for you and your lunchbox. He likes the lunch that your mama makes. Okay. Now, if you don't know who your dad is, you might ask your mom to drop you off around the back of the school. You jump over the fence and you hurry along to class, or you've dug a tunnel or something. But if you know who your dad is, you're going to walk through the front gates. You're going to smile that bully in the face. You say, sorry, you're not taking my lunch. Okay. This is my inheritance. All right. I'll fight for that, you know. Now, that is where we coming out of. We know who our Father is. We know our Heavenly Father is. Do not shy away from a challenge. Don't allow the enemy to intimidate you, because that's what he does. That is his job. He tries to intimidate us. And he'll use lies and deception, try and bring confusion and doubts. This intimidation, and like many bullies, as soon as you show signs of standing up to them, they back down. Because they really don't want to fight. Many of them. But the enemy is like that. James 4 verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That means what God has called us to, a life of submitting to Him, obeying Him, includes resisting the devil. In other words, God's life for us has opposition. The devil is there. If you follow God, it's kind of a package deal. You get the devil on your case as well. But He says, just continue obeying Me and submitting to Me. Continue in the plan and the path that I have for you. Resist the devil, front up to the opposition, get ready for battle, but the victory is yours. He will flee from you. But you won't find anywhere in Scripture that following God indemnifies you from challenges or tribulation. In fact, the opposite, and right there we see, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. What awaits us goes way beyond what we can ever think or ask or imagine. But what we can be certain of are the challenges, the resistance from the enemy, tough times. We can be certain of that. God hasn't chosen for us the path of least resistance. But He has a plan in all of that. It's not that God likes the devil, or thanks Him at the end of the day. But God will use those challenges to help shape us and bring about His plans and purposes, which are to conform us to His image. Builds character. You cannot build character without a challenge. So let us not step out in the morning. Let us not confront our challenges as though we have a weak Father. Our God is big. Our Father is almighty. So when you step out, know who's standing behind you. It's like the traffic cop putting out his hand to stop a 10-ton truck coming straight at him. That truck has to stop. Who's more powerful? Well, the weight of the law is behind that traffic officer. If that truck doesn't stop, okay, someone might get hurt. But the weight of the whole law is behind that officer. And that truck has to stop. That officer knows what authority he has. We are children of God. He's our dad. He's given us authority. He says, go therefore. Go and make disciples of all the nations. I've received all authority. Now you go. He's given it to us. Jesus said, greater things than what He did, we will do. Let us be mindful of that fact. Let us not act as though our Father is weak. It's not about being arrogant or throwing our weight around. No, our Lord is humble and lowly in heart. But He did not back down from any challenge or any opposition. He didn't run away from anything or anyone. He fulfilled His purpose in this life. And He faced the greatest challenge on our behalf. So we can know we won't even have to go there. You will never be called to carry the weight of the sin of the world on your shoulders. Or even pay the penalty for your own sin. That has been handled at the cross. So we're actually just following in the wake of that victory. It's like water skiing. The boat's doing all the work. You just kind of got to hang on. Enjoy the ride. Summertime now, it's a good analogy. Okay, the very next verse. Paul says that I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now I want to ask you, just imagine that your best friend, or if you're married, yeah, your spouse, surprises you on your birthday with a very unique gift. They have gone out of their way, because they thought that you would really be blessed by this, to go and speak to the organizers of the Comrades Marathon and get you an entry without needing to qualify through some kind, you know, qualifying race or whatever. And they really think you'll enjoy it and it'll be good for you. And so you entered for next year, whenever that is, May or June. You, imagine, are having to run the Comrades race next year. And everyone's so excited. They put it on Facebook. And you've already got 50 followers. They started a blog for you or something. And they Gayo, give all of this to you tomorrow morning, for your birthday present. The entry, a special letter from the organizers saying they know you're going to, do well. Super Sports written a letter there. They're going to do a documentary on you. The blog with your followers, it's all there. This is the most awesome present. And they're like, so are you excited? Are you happy? Now, maybe unless you're Tiens Jacobs, that's the other Tiens, you might not be that excited about that. I know I'd be like, whew, okay. I mean, you pretty much have to do this, right? So what are you going to do after work tomorrow? You're going to run home, yeah. You might swing by, Sportsman's Warehouse, maybe pick up a pair of tackies or something like that and start training. You're going to be training most days for the next few months because you're in this race and there's no two ways about it. You got to finish. I mean, there's a whole nation that's rooting for you. You realize that it's like the hopes of a nation are resting on your shoulders. This is like just one notch under 95 World Cup, You can actually unite a nation here. Okay, so you are training. Now, what I want you to see is that, in fact, we are in a race. This life is like a race, and Paul often equates life to a race. And I walk with God, maybe I run with God to a race. And so, yes, there's glory waiting, but sure, there's a lot of suffering along the way. But we need to start running this race, our journey with God, as though we're competing in the greatest race ever, because it is the greatest race ever. But we often just kind of forget that. I mean, if we think what kind of energy and time and effort we would put into getting ready for that Comrades next year, we should actually be putting in even more effort, because the race that God has us in is infinitely greater and the glory is infinitely more. It's worth it. It's all the pain, the suffering that goes along with this preparation time that we are in. This life is a preparation for eternity. And it's actually short, even like 6 months of training for next year's comrades would be short. Well, this life is actually short compared to an eternity and what we're training for. So we've got to give it our all. I don't want to get to heaven one day to the pearly gates and be like, you know, phew, I just made it. You know, the gun was going, you know, literally like 30 seconds. I was crawling in, you know, and the cameramen were there. You know, Peter, they're like, come, you can do it. No, man, I want to come in well under the time, you know. Gun for the gold medal. Don't just try and scrape home for bronze or like just finishers medal. You know, you don't want to be the guy that they interview that's kind of just missed it or just made it, you know. Guy that just made it by like 2 seconds. Like, ah, I trained a bit too hard this year. I was aiming for 1 second under the gun. Not like that. Not like we sometimes, I know you guys don't. But back in the day, we used to, you know, if you get 51% for your subject, then you study too hard. You know, you've got to just, you know. As before, I knew the Lord. just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay. You should work hard. Now, we are competing as athletes in the greatest race with the Lord, and we must remember that it's not easy. We are not called to play it safe. The Lord has set before us this race, and we are all in it already. You have signed up for it. When you say yes to Jesus, you sign up for that. In fact, we can argue that everyone, unbelievers and believers alike, we're all in the same race. It's kind of like we've just officially entered. Okay. But they've been called to it as well. They might just not have received that gift yet, that birthday surprise. But it's awesome. Once you've finished that race, there's nothing like it. I don't know if you guys are young, athletic looking, you've probably done some races. At least at school, you know, we're all encouraged to do athletics and this and that. It feels good when you finish the race that you've trained for. It feels good. Imagine how awesome it will be. We can't even imagine the glory that will be revealed in us. When the Lord can say over us, well done, good and faithful servant. And surely that's what we're going for. We're going to make our dad proud. That's what we want. Because he did it all for us and he made it possible for us. He's given us every opportunity to be successful. We have the church that can help train us. It's awesome. Now the next picture. Well, that's quite a powerful saying. A ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. Okay. We have not been called to play it safe. Now I realize that in our makeup, some of us might be more risk averse than others. We want to avoid, you know, maybe we're just wired that way. But that cannot be our excuse when it comes to our faith. We cannot go through life avoiding every possible risk or possible challenge that might come our way. Look for an easy way out or the short route or the easy way. That's not what we've been called for. As there's a very easy example, a very plain example of that. When Jesus teaches disciples he shares with them the parable of the talents. You guys know the story. And one was given 5, another 2, and another 1. And the guy that was given 5, and that was like a quota of money, quite a lot of money that Jesus was using in this example. And he multiplied 100%. He brought back 10 when his master came back. Jesus telling us how an aspect of how the kingdom operates. And his master returns and he says, look, you gave me 5, I've gained 5 more. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little, I'll make you ruler over much. The one that was given two talents returns and says, look, you gave me two, I've gained another two. And his master says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little, I'll make you ruler over much. You see, sometimes we just on the side here, we'll look at the guy that now has 10 talents, right? And then the guy that now has 4 talents. I mean, they're both multiplied by 100%. And we'll look at them and say, well, 10, you in first place, 4, you in second place. Well, God doesn't see it that way. God gives them exactly the same reward. God tells them exactly the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little, I'll make you rule over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God gives them exactly the same because actually they performed equally, the two of them. They both multiplied 100%. And so realize that the world sees things differently than God. Each one of us have been given gifts and abilities and talents. Talent in the way that we normally speak about talent. Certain abilities that we're born with and certain spiritual gifts that God would give us after we come to Him and baptize in the Spirit. And God wants us to use that. He gave a third servant one talent. What did that guy do? He was risk averse. He played it safe. At all costs, he didn't want to lose this talent. But he allowed fear to dictate what he did. And so he didn't put it to use. He buried it. When his master returned, he said, look, there's the talent that you gave me. And what was his master's reply? He wasn't very pleased, was he? He said, you wicked and lazy servant. He got thrown into utter darkness. I don't know what gifts or abilities you have been given. I don't know what spiritual gifts God has called you to operate in. My question is, do you know? If you want to know, you can have the answer. You know who to talk to. Reno. No, I mean, God. No, joke. Just kidding. God. You want to know why you're here? Go to the one who put you here. I wonder, we'll also have a Reno in Table View. One day. You know what, where they say the richest place on earth is? The graveyard. You've heard that one. That's where the most buried potential is lying. Unearthed, unused. Lives that could have been, that didn't fulfill what God had called them to. Many people, there are people like that wicked and lazy servant that haven't used what God has placed in. Maybe they never knew. They never asked. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. So I just want to encourage you tonight to make time and make an effort to find out exactly what your race looks like. Before the August cycle tour, and I'm sure the comrades, because I've never done the comrades, you can ask Tians. I'm sure they send you a race pack to excite you a month or two before the time. And there you'll see a profile of the race with the mountains and poly shorts and long pants and whatever else. You can say, oh, this is the race I'm entered in. It's a down run. It's an up run. I don't know what your race with the Lord looks like. Depends what He's called you to and what gifts and talents He's expecting you to use for His glory the people that he's going to bring over your path that you're going to bless with those. But do you know, you want to know what your race looks like? If you're imagining, and if your race up to now, if you draw a graph and it's pretty flat, then I'd say maybe you haven't quite been running the race that God has called you to. The race that God has for us is going to have undulations. It's going to have some serious category 4 climbs and whatever. And some scary descents. It's going to be, it is hectic. But it's exciting. I wouldn't want it any other way. Our God is not boring. Life with God is the most exciting thing ever. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I thought I had everything. I thought I was experiencing everything the world had to offer before I knew God. But I knew nothing. After God saved me, life just opened up to me. Possibilities. I realized God showed me things before I could even open a Bible. I didn't have a Bible. In those first few days of knowing Him, He showed me so many things, and I knew anything is possible with Him. And I was very aware of my limitations before that. And I was trying to push the boundaries, but I had zero faith. I didn't have faith to go or to even aim higher. And I thought I was experiencing everything, and obviously I was very wayward and in sin. But when God came into my life, it's like that ceiling just lifted. No more limitations. And I got super excited. The first thing I asked God, God, is it your desire for me to become a Springbok rugby player? God said no. So I'm like, ah. It was worth asking. It was worth a try. Get it, God, it was worth a try. Get it. Yeah. Now God has a sense of humor. And He showed me, started showing me what He's called me for. And it hasn't been easy. I'm walking in that road, and I know there's hectic things to come, and I'm excited about it. None of us ever arrive. God just keeps taking you from one climb to the next, and the next peak is just that little bit higher. But it's awesome how He works with us. But I was reminded, worshiping here, and that machine in the corner caught my eye. Is that like a water cooler or something? Looks like something like that. That reminded me of a fridge. Okay, that's like a miniature. But it reminded me, like, the back of the fridge has that grid and whatever else. And it reminded me of just those 3 days after the Lord saved me, and I was hanging onto a fridge for dear life. I'm not going to retell the whole story. But God had laid a calling on my heart, and people were trying to take me away to a hospital, mental hospital. Because in those 3 days preceding that, I'd systematically got rid of all my stuff because God had given me a new identity, a new direction in life, a new nature, and I didn't want to be reminded of my past in any way. I got rid of everything. I was in the UK and my sister came and she saw this behavior, getting rid of everything, and that's not normal, you know. And so, you know, the family took the necessary measures and had psychologists and psychiatrists involved, and I was telling them, you know, I'm on a mission and God is showing me this and this. And in that country, they're still trying to convince themselves God doesn't exist. So it's just all about you hearing voices in your head and this and that. So yes, they want to examine me, and I'm like, just leave me. I'm on a mission. You know, I ministered to them a bit, and when I was done, I'm like, yeah, please let me go. And yeah, it's a long story. I was blessed to be able to minister to some people, and they kind of forgot why they came. They came to fetch me, but they were just kind of stunned, you know, just under the power of the Holy Spirit. And so eventually they had to send more people. They had to send police to come take me away. And these guys tried to, they get me away. They like jumped on me, basically my flat, and I hung onto the fridge. Okay. So I was reminded of that. But in that moment, my dream died because I believed I had to go back to South Africa and start, you know, training in the word and, you know, to start preaching to people. That's God has called me just to preach the word. And I thought, well, here it goes. You know, these people are going to lock me up forever. They think I'm crazy. And yeah, the dream dies. And it's like, God, I failed you. But okay, so I guess you're going to take me home now. You know? So I literally thought a lightning bolt's going to take me out. I'm grateful that it didn't because I'm sure that would hurt. You know, there's different ways to go to heaven one day. And I don't want a lightning bolt to be one of them. But my dream died. I'm grateful to God that more or less 3 days later, it was resurrected again when I realized all is not lost. And God actually used that time to kind of just help me pace myself a little bit. And, yeah, and the people let me go and say, oh, you know, you've recovered so quickly and what. So do you still have your spiritual convictions? When I said yes, you should have seen their countenance fell. And I said, yeah, adios. And I mean, you got to realize that the enemy will try and steal your dream, your calling that God has placed on your life. There will be opposition. But you got to keep at it. Stay obedient. Stay submitting to God. And resist that. Sometimes it's going to take everything in you, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, to resist what the enemy tries to throw at you. And sometimes you think that dream is dead and that calling is missed. But don't let it go. And I want to ask you tonight, as I said, maybe you don't know what God has placed in you and what your race is meant to look like. And maybe you do, but you feel you've lost it. That dream has died a long time ago. You just think it's somehow it's impossible. You missed that boat. I want to encourage you. Our God is the God of the second chance. He's the God of the impossible. Bring those dreams before Him once more. Allow Him to breathe life into that. I think there's truth to the saying that every dream that you receive dies. It needs to get resurrected. Hang on to it. Don't let it go. And the enemy will try his best. You know, so he tries to sow confusion. He tries through people, everyone around you saying, well, what you experienced and what God told you, well, that's just a voice in your head. God doesn't exist. And I had no believers around me. I had no one to tell me God does exist. But I had a lot of people, everyone around me saying, no, God doesn't exist. You're just crazy. Take these pills. The voice will go away. Make the bad man stop. No. You need to hang on to that. What God has spoken to you, what He has placed in you, is worth fighting for. Your victory is certain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is some encouragement for you. It's kind of like a you may as well give it all you got clause. As for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour, face death every day? Yes, it's Paul speaking. Just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's no such thing as the resurrection, yes, then this is all for nothing. Then we might as well forget about our faith and just party hard and die and that's it. That's how many people live. That is a sad existence. I was there, I know. And I won't go back there. What we have as believers, what we have in our Heavenly Father, 1 million times richer. more rewarding, deeper. It's the love that we've been looking for, that people that don't know God look for so many different places and they never find it. And that's what makes everything worth it. The suffering is worth it then, because there is a resurrection. We have eternal life. So even if you had to die literally, physically, pursuing what God has called you to, you still have everything. You've got eternal life. So you might as well give it all you got. The people out there that are playing it safe, that don't know God, they are afraid of dying. Let me tell you that much. Everyone is afraid of dying if you don't have God in your life, even if it's subconsciously. But that was a big part of the lid that got lifted off my life when I came to God. I suddenly realized I've got no more fear. Even fear of death is gone. I can do anything. That's why I thought kind of that would be quite a good attribute and quality to have if you want to make it like to international rugby level. Have no fear, you know, run straight through the brick wall. But how much more so in our everyday lives if we know that we don't have to be afraid of anything? No fear. You have eternal life. You can take risks. God wants you to. Nothing great has ever been built without someone taking risks. I'm pretty sure most of the Fortune 500 company founders have been bankrupt once or twice in their lives before. Speak to many of the wealthiest people and they'll say that to you. That wasn't their first business. They've been bankrupt before. But they've got that winning attitude, that can-do attitude. They're not afraid of risking. We need to get there. And with our spiritual life, you cannot die. Do you understand that we are first and foremost a spirit that cannot die? This body is a shell. When this shell, when the time is up for the shell, that's not time up for us. That's like phase one complete. Well done. Here's your certificate. We can go for it. Don't be afraid. We have not been given a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Very important, sound mind. It doesn't mean you just do things willy-nilly and without thinking. No, you've got to apply yourself. We need to love God with all of our strength and with our mind. As charismatics, sometimes we forget the mind thing. We don't often apply our mind. But we need to. You can't just love God with your heart. You need to love Him with your mind as well. We need to spend time in the Scriptures. When you study it, read it, make it part of you. But it can't just end there. It's not just the mind. Many people make that mistake as well. No. When you serve Him, our spirit man, be led by the Spirit. So that's the first safety net, I almost want to say, for you to be able to, as a trapeze artist, do the craziest stunts, knowing that you can't get hurt even if you miss the bar. You have eternal life. Don't be afraid. Go for it. And the next, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So when we're following the Lord and we're not opting for the safe course every time, we're living out our callings. Yes, it's going to be tough until the point where one day we will die. It's going to be a tough race. That's what we signed up for. Not a flat race. It's going to be tough. But firstly, you've consoled yourself in that actually we can't die spiritually. We live on forever. And this is what God has called us to. So we can go for it. Secondly, even as we are suffering and all along the route and the way, people will see God's glory through us. They'll experience the glory of God as we pursue God's call on our lives. As we are going through suffering, it brings glory to God. You guys have watched the Apostle Peter movie, and his jailers, they were absolutely fascinated by the fact that he could still love, he could still smile, he could still worship, even though he was in chains, even though he had suffered so much. And they came to salvation. And that's how the gospel has spread through the ages. And that's where the church is growing the quickest in the world, where it's persecuted. Because that confounds people. When true believers are suffering so intensely, but they're still giving praise to God and they're still displaying the joy of the Lord. That is a testimony so powerful that lives get changed just witnessing that. That's what we've been called to. Suffering is blessed. You're not going to get the suffering if you opt to play it safe all the time. That is like aiming to get 50%. God has called us to aim for 100%. Don't bury your talent. Do you know what you have in your hands? Do you know what God has given you? I mean, that's quite hectic. That go back to a few scriptures to Matthew 25. I never read that. That's from the Message Bible. The Message is scary. Take the 1,000. So this he says about the guy that buried his talent. Take the 1,000, give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb and throw him into utter darkness. Hey, that's good bedtime reading. That'll psych you up for the next morning. I don't want to be a play it safe. You want that written on your tombstone one day? He was at playing it safe. He was the best. He lived to be 120, but didn't amount to anything. That's just a waste of a long life. You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'd rather live to be half of that and die in chains for our Lord. That's not a waste. And the disciples, they counted it an honor to suffer for the name of the Lord. Now, in our country, in our time right now, we're not experiencing that level of persecution. But we're headed that way. And the only faith that is real is faith that is tested. I pray for all of us that we'll take that test in our stride, that we'll not be moved or shaken. We'll stay on the course, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, you're not running the race on your own. He's with you every step of the way. He's the one giving us the strength and the power for those climbs. And if you stay holding his hand, he will get you to the finish line. You can know that. Because even when we're tired and weak, he stays strong and he's the faithful one. He will not give up on you, and he never has. I'd just like to pray for us. We can just bow our heads. So as your eyes are closed, I just want to read for you from Luke chapter 19, verse 26, also in the Message. And Jesus is encouraging his disciples there. He says, risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and end up holding the bag. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. You can never outgive God. You can't begin to imagine the awesome plans that He has for your life. You can trust Him. What God is asking of us is to surrender to Him, to submit to Him. Counting the cost, knowing that it's going to be a challenge. We have opposition in the enemy. But we keep the course, we resist the enemy, stay submitted to God, and the enemy will flee from you. And you will be with the Lord for an eternity. And through your life, all along the way, people around you will be encouraged and drawn to the life in Christ through your life, through your testimony. God didn't say it was going to be easy. Life is hard, but God is good. Hang on to God. You can let go of everything else. If you feel there's too much going on, let go of everything except God. Just hang on to God. Stay close to Him. You will make it. Allow Him to strengthen you. Allow Him to lead you. He will take you one step at a time. That's how He works with us. One thing He deals with at a time. He knows we can't handle much more than that. So we mustn't come and make up our own plans in our head of how things are going to work out. God loves to surprise us. Life with Him is exciting. You can know that what He has in store for you far surpasses anything that He might ask you to sacrifice or let go of. Rest in the knowledge. If you are with Jesus, if you're walking with Him, you have eternal life. And there's actually nothing the enemy or anyone else can do to you. They can't take that away from you. No one can. So you are rich. I don't care what the world says, or what your bank manager says. If you've got Jesus in your life, you are rich. You have everything you ever need. Lord, I pray that by Your Spirit that You'll reignite dreams and callings in this place tonight. Even as You reminded me of how I experienced my calling die and then get resurrected again after much opposition, I pray, Lord, that there are people here whose callings in a sense have died. They've been through dark valleys, Lord. I pray that You will bring those callings to life once more. That You'll remind them of those dreams that You placed on their hearts long ago, Lord. And if they have never heard from You in that regard, that You would draw them close to inquire of You. What is it that You've placed in them? What is it that You've called them to, Lord? Because, Lord, You've called us to a supernatural existence. You've called us to a higher life. You haven't called us to survive life or just to roll with the punches. Lord, you've called us to overcome. You have said that we are more than conquerors. You have said that overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, may it not be said of us, Lord God, that we avoided challenges, that we never took risks, that we played it safe. No, Lord, it is a risk following you, but it is always worth it. We might get hurt along the way by our circumstances, by opposition, even by brothers or sisters, Lord God. We might get disappointed, we might get hurt, but Lord, it's worth it. There's no other life that comes close. You are the life. I thank you, Lord God, each one of these people here tonight, you have called as world changers. Thank you, Lord God, that you have called us for a time such as this. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. More than ever, the world needs to see us shine your light. Because the days are dark. But in these days, Lord, our light will shine more brightly. I pray, Lord, that we will never compromise or back down from an opportunity to share your love. That we would never be ashamed of the gospel. But Lord, make our lives count. We don't want to get to the end of our lives and say that we've wasted it. That we missed opportunities. That we didn't even ask you for opportunities. Lord, thank you that you don't force yourself on anyone. Thank you that you've given us a choice. But Lord, sometimes we're our own worst enemy because we don't come to you and we don't ask you. Lord, help us to draw near to you, Lord. Give us a hunger for more of you, Lord. Give us a heart to see people's lives changed around us. Give us the faith to step out of the boat, Lord. Step on the water. The world will say that's impossible. You can't walk on water, but with God, all things are possible. Lord, let us not be more mindful of what man says than what you say, Lord. May you always have the final say in our lives. If people say, no, that's impossible, we can't do that, or we're sick, or this or that, thank you, Lord, that you have the final say. Thank you that we can stand on your word, Lord, and step out in faith. I pray, Lord, that you'll just reignite faith goals here. Help us to set targets for our faith, Lord, almost as though we're training, Lord, because we are training for eternity, Father. Let us not be passive about our growth spiritually, Lord. Lord, let us take this race seriously, Father, because people's lives are hanging in the balance. You've called us, Lord, to be your hands and feet. I just want to thank you, Lord, that I can declare each one of these men and women in front of me, they are mighty men and women. And they will change the world. Not in their own strength, but through the Spirit of the living God. The power of God at work through their lives. Thank you for the testimonies tonight, Lord. You're alive, Lord, and you're changing us. People around us can see that. I just come against the enemy where he wants to silence us, where he wants us to put God in a box, put a limitation on God and ourselves and what God can do through us. I just declare that for these people, nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. That ceiling has been lifted. That lid is off. The sky's the limit. I pray, Lord, that you'll increase faith in this place. More faith, Lord. Lord, may we just get a greater hunger for your word, and as we read your word, faith comes. You reminded your people, Lord, where you brought them from when they were in the desert. Remember the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, out of captivity. Who parted the Red Sea, who did the impossible, remember. Those testimonies bring faith. Lord, let us not be of those who would walk around in the desert endlessly, Father. But Lord, let us take hold of what you have in store for us. The promised land, Lord. Let us hold that before us and let us go for that, Father. Let us not be intimidated by our circumstances in this desert landscape because, Lord, you will provide. Thank you that you give us everything we need. You have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We don't have to shy away from any challenge thinking that we're ill-equipped. If our God is for us, who can be against us? Thank you, God, that these men and women before me will do great and mighty things for you, Lord. Thank you that you're raising up an army that will change the face of this nation, Lord. Lord, give us that boldness and that courage, Lord, to take responsibility for our peers, our family, our colleagues, our classmates. Let us take responsibility for them, Lord. Let us start praying for them, Lord God, praying your will over them, prophesying over them, declaring your goodness over them, speaking your love over them, Lord, sharing the gospel with them. Let us take it upon ourselves, Lord God. Lord, we don't care, Lord God, if they want to ridicule us, whatever, Father. To suffer anything for your name, Lord, is an honor and a privilege. But Lord, may our only motive be love. Not coming out of a place of judgment. Just love, Lord. If we just get something of your heart, how much you love the people around us, then nothing will stop us. And we just bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to take just a few moments. Just allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of some dreams that He's placed on your heart, some things that He's spoken to you. Whether it be through His word or vision or in nature, whatever, you know, sometimes you just know, hey, God is revealing something yet to me pertaining to my future and what He has called me to. Just allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of that and just quicken that in your spirit. And then just bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, maybe I haven't done anything about this yet. But Lord, I just hold it before you and I just ask you, Lord, show me what step to take now. I don't want to hesitate or procrastinate, put it off any longer. You spoke to Abraham and he got up early the next morning and he went. And it seemed like impossible. But Lord, you came through for him. He stepped out in faith, Lord. And that is an example for us. So just allow the Holy Spirit just to remind you. I'm just going to give you a few moments for that. And if, and otherwise, if you're not reminded of something, or just ask God as well. Ask Him, Lord, I know You haven't forgotten about me. You have a calling for each and every one of us. You've given each of us talents. And they're different, and we're not comparing to each other. You just want us to use what You have given us. You want us to run our race, not someone else's race, our race. What does my race look like, Lord? Okay, just going to give you a few moments. Things of God are only as powerful in your life as what they are precious to you. The things of God are only as powerful as what they are precious to you. Okay, and we'd love to just pray with you and just anoint you and agree with you. Lord, the seed that you have sown, Lord, this vision that you have given, this is going to come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for the strength to walk in this way. So if you'd like that, if you'd like to come to the front, and we're just going to anoint you guys that feel where the Lord is talking to you right now, and you just like to bring this officially before the Lord, I'm just going to anoint you and just pray for you. And just while the band is maybe just singing a final song, I'm just going to anoint you. And then after that, you may go, and there's some tea or something somewhere. So yeah, just like to pray with you guys. So anyone, just as the band's now singing now, just come forward and maybe just line up, and if there's maybe one or two other facilitators here, and we can just anoint you guys and just agree with you in prayer for that. Okay. Bless you guys. Thank you for your time.